Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Did you ever consider you might share ancestry with someone you've never met? Now, what if that person that shares your ancestry turns out to be more than just one? Imagine doing a DNA test and finding out you have over 600 half-siblings spread across the Atlantic, and you're part of the biggest family in the world. The World's Biggest Family is the name of a new documentary. It tells the story of the offspring of an anonymous and unusually prolific sperm donor and the secrets and lies that surround artificial insemination. The movie's subject and its director is multiple award-winning filmmaker Barry Stevens, who worked on The Diary of Evelyn Waugh, Offspring, Souvenir of Canada, and History TV's War Story. The World's Biggest Bookstore, The World's Biggest Family, sorry about that, is premiering on October 1st on CBC Docs POV and on CBC Gem. And I'm very pleased to have Barry Stevens here via Zoom to tell us more about this fascinating story. Hi, Barry. Thanks for talking with me.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, Barry, you're not just the director of this documentary. You're also its subject. You say in the film that you were conceived using the sperm of an anonymous donor. When did you first find out about this?
Well, a long time ago, when I was 18 and my father had died in an accident, our mother told us that we had been conceived this way. And for a long time, we just thought we could never find out anything because this was like 1970, I think. And but late 90s, around that time, we thought, well, maybe we can find something out. And I began to search. And after quite a while, using the new technologies of DNA testing and the internet, I did discover who he was. He was dead by then. But his name was Bertolt Wiestand. He was a very active sperm donor, the husband of the doctor who treated the women who had infertile husbands, including my father. And we have evidence that he had hundreds and hundreds, possibly as many as 1,000, maybe as few as 400, but probably not fewer than that.
And what was your first impression when you learned you had so many potential living relatives? Did that come to you immediately when you did the check, or was that a gradual process?
Oh, was it more of a gradual process? Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise and a very intriguing. And then what happened was later on, these new DNA testing companies came along. You know, the ones I mean, like 23andMe, Ancestry.com, that kind of thing. You swab your cheek, you send it off. And they come back with, oh, you have this half-sister or this half-brother or this cousin and so forth. And when that happened, I'd already solved the mystery by then that I knew who the donor was. But after those companies came along, the number that we know of began to expand rapidly. Now I know about 43 half-siblings and maybe another 100 of their children and even grandchildren. So, you know, there are probably a couple of 1,000 or 1,500 of us all together, including those kids. So what I did is I set out to make a film because what bothered me, and I'd already made one film about my search, but what bothered me was the anonymity of this whole process and the secrets and lies. And this was important because of health. You don't know your health history. Most people who are conceived this way don't even know that they have been conceived this way. So they are deluded as to who they come from, what their genetic history, what their ethnic history is sometimes. But, and that seemed wrong to me, and it creates all kinds of problems.
But aren't sperm donors asked to reveal their medical background and any hereditary ailments they might have?
They weren't back when I was conceived, and they weren't for a long time. The doctors simply told the women and their husbands to just never tell anybody. Borderline illegal back when I was created, which was in the early 50s. And the church and the law was against it. So secrecy was the norm. Now, later on, when the sperm banks came along, and more recently in most people's experience, yes, they were supposed to, but sperm donors were paid, and they often lied. And since they were anonymous, it could easily be evaded. Plus, you donate when you're a young man, and then you grow older, and you get difficulties health-wise. And also, the sperm banks didn't track them. They didn't keep a record. There is no central registry for any of this. But even it's not just the health issues. People, I would say that nobody has the right to withhold significant personal information from someone. Like if you're holding an envelope which contains, oh my God, this is Barry's father. He doesn't even know, but his biological father, he doesn't even know that this man produced him. Well, do you have the right to hold that and keep it secret from me? And I think most offspring, about 90% of us, feel that that isn't right. And we'd like to end that anonymity. It's already been ended in a lot of places in the world. Anyway, in this film, I go looking, talking to both my large family, many of my members of this large family I have, but also talk to donors in the United States and somebody who a mother of a donor-conceived child who was lied to, and the donor turned out to be a criminal schizophrenic, a heritable disease. And in another case, a young woman in Ottawa whose doctor, the doctor himself, used his own sperm and lied about it to all the patients. And he created, you know, dozens and dozens of children with this lie. But, yeah, go ahead.
Canadian law used to prevent adult adopted children from meeting their biological parents, even if both sides wanted to meet. They wouldn't ever reveal this information. That's been changed. What's the legal position?
It's been changed in some provinces, yeah.
Yes, but what's the legal position in Canada or in various provinces in Canada for anonymous donors and their offspring, for sperm donors?
Well, the Assisted Human Reproduction Act doesn't forbid identifiable donors, but it doesn't mandate them. And so, since most of the sperm comes from the States, in Canada, a lot of the sperm bank's donors are anonymous. And so, there is no. We did actually come very close years ago. From changing the law and making it more similar to the United Kingdom, to Scandinavia, to the Netherlands, to Australia, to New Zealand, a lot of countries that do exactly what they do and many provinces do with adoptees. And you're quite right. Adoption is a very good analogy. Many people now recognize that adopted people, should they want to, not everybody wants to, should they want to have that information, then they have a right to have it. And that's what we'd like to see with sperm donor and egg donor offspring.
Well, laws usually follow popular opinion or attitudes. They don't tend to lead them. Being adopted used to be very much a hush-hush taboo. What do you think the current status of people conceived by sperm or ova donations is among the general public? Are people still hush hush about it? Do they consider it a taboo?
I think that's a really key question that you've asked. And yes, it has shifted with adoption. And it used to be so shameful, a girl getting pregnant when she wasn't married, was very often involved in that. And male infertility or female infertility used to be also something pretty taboo. It still is a little bit. But with the advent of single mothers by choice, lesbian couples, gay couples having children, and also just, you know, I think people recognize infertility in heterosexual couples as just a medical issue that doesn't or shouldn't be shameful. And so, yes, it has shifted, but no, the law has not caught up. And by the way, Daniel, the thing is that anonymity is dead anyway. The DNA companies like 23andMe are, yeah, maybe only 5 or 10% of the population has used them, but you can work it out even with a cousin if you want to, who your biological parents were. It's tricky, but it can be done. So anonymity, or the promise of anonymity that the sperm banks and the egg donation organizations, companies used to promise, they can't promise that anymore. And the lies, which they told, quite frankly, are, you know, the limits on the number of children. They said, oh, only 10 children. No, it turned out not to be true. It turned out not to be true. There are lots of families that have dozens, not many who have, probably none who have as many as I do, but there are families that have many, many, many. So they lied about, and there's a risk of offspring, half siblings meeting and even having romantic relationships that can't be discounted. So, yeah, anonymity is dead is the point.
I have friends and family who knew people or who were artificially inseminated or by a known donor, and they would call one another sperm buddies because they had the same donor.
Right.
What do you refer to your siblings all from the same, the 600 or so, or however many you're familiar with? What is your relationship with them, and how do you identify one another? What do you call each other?
Some people use the word halfies. Some people in the States use the word diblings. I just say half siblings. I actually just drop the half, and they're just my brothers and sisters. And we are close. I mean, I just was having a political argument with one of them on email just before you called. And there's a very active WhatsApp group. They're very chatty. As you may have guessed from me, and surprisingly a lot in common. And these people mostly discovered later in life, in middle age or even older. And it's surprising how many are writers, several filmmakers, journalists, and similar kind of, some scientists and some social workers and helping professions. But it's remarkable. The similarities are remarkable. And I think anyone who says that biological ties don't matter. Well, it may be politically correct, I suppose. That's a stupid phrase, but it may be, some people may think that's not true, but that's certainly been an education for me that there is a lot of similarity and a lot of shared experience that has been, frankly, a joy to discover.
What are the characteristics that you share with most of your half siblings?
Sense of humor. Talkativeness, as I said, and I'd say a curiosity about the world, which our donor definitely had. He was a pretty remarkable guy. He was the first person to develop a pregnancy test back in the 20s. He was a scientist, but he was a little bit cavalier with his old ethics, in my opinion.
For how long a period? Like, what are the age range? What is the age range of your siblings? So what period of time was he doing the sperm donation?
We don't know exactly, but I suspect around the time of the beginning of the Second World War, certainly by 1943, and up until about 1967. He died in 71, so it was probably a solid 25-year career.
Wow.
And two-thirds of all the children discover offspring from that medical practice, his wife's medical practice, are his. So he was very, very, very prolific.
There was a Canadian Quebec movie called Starbucks, which was also about... Dev, did you see that one? Or?
Yeah, I did. There's also an American remake of it.
Yeah, I haven't seen the remake. But finally, if listeners believe that they may be the result of an anonymous sperm donor and they want to find out who they are or who they're related to, what do you recommend they should do? What steps should they take?
Well, I think essentially they should get their cheeks swabbed, and if they can afford it, send it off to 23andMe or Ancestry.com and Ancestry.ca. And that's not that expensive. And a lot of half-sibs, oh, if they are donor conceived, half-sibs will show up. At the very least, cousins will show up for everybody. If they want to go further, they can upload that material onto a website called GEDmatch, G-E-D Match. And that's a place where other companies where you can upload from other companies, because if you're on 23andMe and Ancestry, you won't get Ancestry's matches. These are private companies. So that's what I would recommend, yeah. And the second thing I would say is, if you do discover you are adopted, or your dad had an affair, or you're an offspring of gamete donation, then you will experience some emotional shock. You will experience the feeling of, wait, maybe you've been lied to. And that's probably not terrible. Your parents had good reasons to do it, but it can be a shock. And it can be quite a bit of emotion to work through for many people.
Well, it's a fascinating story. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Well, thank you for listening. I appreciate it.
I've been speaking with Barry Stevens about the new documentary, The World's Biggest Family, premiering next week on October 1st at 8 p.m. on CBC Docs POV and streaming on CBC Gem. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.